Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. Joshua chapter 5. I want to begin reading with verse 12. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you here for us or our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. And now one more little phrase in chapter 6 of verse 1. Now Jericho. The now means there's some timing connected here. After you've been through what you just heard in the previous chapter, now Jericho. Now it's time to move and cross over into the promised land. I want to talk to you today about what to do when you're in a transitional place. I really felt like as I tried my best to get the heart of God for this congregation, the people that are watching, those of you online, those of you by television, I believe that there are millions of people perhaps who are hearing me today who are in transitional places. And you've got to understand that when you're in a transitional place, it means that God is going to move you from where you are into what He has for you. But in that transitional place, it can become very, very frustrated, because when you're at the same level for a long time, we weren't built. I believe we weren't built to be at the same level all the time. I believe something in us yearns for more. Something in us yearns to go from faith unto faith, from glory unto glory. I know as this church has grown, when we would hit a certain level, I would get, and it seems like we would be there for a while, and I would get this uneasiness, this restlessness that would almost drive me out of my comfort zone, I guess, that we've got to break through, and we've got to grow, and we've got to reach more people. And I believe that frustration is from God, that when you've been at the same level of whatever it is that you're experiencing in God and you can't seem to get further in what He's called you to do, you're in a transitional place. The word of the Lord came, if you read it in this chapter, it came to Joshua and He said, "You and this people will cross over this Jordan to a land that I will show you." There's a place of crossing over, a separation from the wilderness, a separation from the dry spell, a separation from the struggle of just getting by, just having enough, just going through the same wilderness experience. That's not God's best, and that's not God's plan for your life. The wilderness has a purpose to teach you to trust God, but He has a place of crossing over for your life. And notice that it took a Joshua. It took a power relationship. Without a power relationship, Israel could not get to their promised land without a relationship with Joshua. Joshua is a beautiful type and picture of Jesus. And there's no way that you're going to get into what God has for you without going through Jesus. Inside of you, there are things that cannot be unlocked till you get around the right folks. And Joshua could take them where Moses could not. Moses represented the law. And the reason that God didn't let him take them into the promised land, I've heard people say because he struck the rock, and I understand that that was a part of it. But really, he made it into the promised land because he ended up talking to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But the reason he didn't let Moses lead them into the promised land is because he wanted us to understand the law can't get you there. It's going to require Joshua, Jesus, to take you into the promises. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It comes only through Jesus Christ, through his blood, through his cross, through his resurrection. Through his name, you enter in to the promises. Give me a big amen right there. And so it matters whether or not you get power relationships in your life. First of all, with Jesus, but then with leadership that God puts in your life. If they had not connected with Joshua, then they would have never entered in. There's a difference, folks, between showing up at church and joining up with the vision of the house. Join up with powerful people. Join up with anointed people. Join up with people who have a touch of God and a dream and a vision. And if you don't have a dream, get around somebody who's dreaming. And God has a way of using them to spark something in you that will cause you to come out of the mediocrity that you've been in and begin to walk into the promises God has for you. The scripture said, and God began to magnify Joshua in the eyes of the people. Now listen to me very carefully. When a new move of God begins to happen, you either ignore it or you make friends with it. God said, Moses is dead. As powerful as it was, as awesome as it was, the miracles, the plagues, the parting of rivers, the blood of the lamb that brought them out, that's amazing, but I don't want my people to live in the past. Moses is dead. And now there is a fresh new move. There is a new leader. His name is Joshua. And listen to me, smart people make friends with the new move of God. Link yourself up and be a friend with what God is doing. Befriend the new move of God. Don't get stuck in the mud. Don't get stuck in tradition. Don't get stuck in old thinking. But constantly keep things fresh and say, God, wherever you're moving, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I'm going with the move. Notice that when God is taking you somewhere and transitioning you, you'll see this in the Old Testament. God constantly, three times, changed the diet of the people. The children of Israel had three specific diets in the Old Testament. In Egypt, it says over and over and over, they ate leeks and garlic and onions. I'm going to call that the food of bondage. When you're in bondage, you eat certain things that everybody around you can tell what you've been eating. It's not hard to tell what some people have been eating because their attitude stinks. What comes out of their mouth stinks. And we can tell what you're consuming in your diet. If you're consuming offense, if you're consuming bitterness, if you're consuming unbelief, if you're consuming doubt and fear and worry and depression, it always comes out in a stinking attitude and in words that come out of your mouth. There's something about what we consume that causes what comes out of us to be noticed by people around us. When they came out of Egypt, they left the leeks, the onions, and the garlics behind. If you're ever going to get out of bondage, you've got to start eating something you've never eaten before. The Bible puts it this way. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead of taking in a diet of things that gives you a stinking attitude, you have to begin to take in the Word of God, listen to it, worship with it, feed on it, listen to CDs, listen to preachers. Get the Word in you because God is bringing you out of bondage, out of and off of the food of bondage, and He's saying, I want you to move in to a new place. And the scripture said that He changed their diet. And then they get into the wilderness and they had the second diet. Guess what it was? It was called manna. And the word manna in Hebrew means, what is it? What is it? For 40 years, they ate the bread of uncertainty. What is it? It's the bread that sustains you while you're wandering through the wilderness and you don't understand where you're going or where you're at, and you're just kind of holding on, and God is teaching you things. And when you first get saved, God will take you off of the stinking attitude stuff and he'll say, come on out, and he'll plant you in a church. And at first it's exciting, but then you may go through a little wilderness time. But that wilderness is just going to equip you with something called manna. You don't know quite what you've gotten into, but church is a what is it to you? But there's people who don't get why they think you're waving at somebody, they don't understand why your hands are going up. They don't understand, but it's all right. I'm so glad you're here. And you may be asking, what is it? Don't worry about what it is. Just do what your mama said. Just eat it. That's what mom used to say. Sitting around, she'd say, just shut up and eat it. Just eat it. Just do it. Just throw your hands up. Get right in there with everybody else and clap off beat. It don't matter. Just get in there. It'll make you strong. It'll sustain you. It'll cause you to grow. What is faith? What is the word? What is church attendance? What is baptism? What is the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism in the Holy? It's all a big what is it? But that's okay. God has you right where he wants you. And then there came the place of the crossover. And that's where I read where the scripture said, and the manna ceased, and they ate of the fruit of the ground. The third diet, final diet that he put his people on, now their diet had to change again. And he said, now you can have whatever you're willing to break the ground for. You've got to become a groundbreaker. And whatever you're willing to sow for, that's what you can eat. Whatever you want to eat, you decide. Whatever you want to get out of your walk with God now that you've been saved, and I've taught you what it is to be a believer, what it is to be an intercessor, what it is to be a witness for Jesus Christ, what it is to be a spirit-filled believer, now it's up to you. Now the manna's going to cease, and what you get out of your Christian walk is not up to God. Whatever you sow, you will reap. A demand is placed on your faith now. If you want grapes, it's up to you. If you want corn, it's up to you. If you want wheat, it's up to you. I feel like preaching. If you want collard greens, it's up to you. If you want black-eyed peas and turnip greens, it's up to you. Act upon it. Use what you've got. So, God doesn't want us to become a bunch of overfed pew potatoes that just sit in church. He said, the reason that I've taught you to be faithful and taught you the word and heard all these sermons is at some point the manna's going to cease, and now if you want it, you've got to sow something. Now listen, this is a big point. Your comfort level in a place of transition, your comfort level must be challenged. That's why he changed their diet, because it's uncomfortable. Your fruitfulness is linked to your discomfort zone. That's why he said, they that sow in tears, it's uncomfortable, will reap in joy. That's why there's a verse that said, he that will not plow by reason of the heat, it's uncomfortable, will have no harvest in the winter. Your fruitfulness is linked to your discomfort zone. Your fruitfulness is tied to being in a place of discomfort. Just about the time you're ready to write and print your 1,001 ways to prepare manna recipe book, God will come along and he will say, I'm changing everything, and you become in a place of discomfort. What is it is over. Now go get it yourself. It's called the food of freedom. It's not a handout. You have to take a plow and you have to sow and you have to reap. Your diet has to switch when you cross over. A woman giving birth, The first sign that she's entering fruitfulness is discomfort. When a woman's going to have a baby, the first thing she will do is feel discomfort and get to the hospital, and she's got one thing on her mind: are the drugs ready? Because this is extremely uncomfortable. But notice that discomfort is always connected to fruitfulness. If you feel that discomfort, that's how I felt when God called me to this church. I was an evangelist. I was traveling. I was telling this evangelist that's with us today that my wife and I had put a contract on a piece of property in Florida, in Ocala, Florida, and we were going to buy 20 acres there and move our ministry there and build a home and live. And that's when we got the call from Free Chapel. We had it all planned out. We had saved up every penny that we had, lived in my mother-in-law's attic and saved every penny, and we were going to live in Ocala, Florida, but the Holy Spirit, I felt such restlessness. I felt this discomfort. And when you feel the discomfort, it means fruitfulness is about to come your way. You're in a transitional place. You must be willing to be uncomfortable to be fruitful. That's why he changes things up. When Jesus told Peter to go catch a fish, and in the fish would be gold in the mouth of the fish, and pay your taxes with it, the Bible said that the fish had to be taken out of the water. The water was the most comfortable place in the world for the fish. But in order for the fish to release the treasure that was in him, he had to be pulled out of his comfort zone into discomfort, and then the treasure came out. Every one of you have this treasure in earthen vessels. And God knows that in order to get the treasure out of you, it's not going to ever manifest when you just stay comfortable. But when you step out of what you can do, out of the comfort zone, into trusting God fully, doing nothing but what he told you to do, and here we go, suddenly the treasure in you begins to manifest for the kingdom's sake. I'm saying to you today that God has you right where he wants you, in a transitional place. Now notice what happened. Joshua then sees the angel of the Lord, and he asks him a question. He's standing there with a sword in his hand. The angel is. He said, have you come for us? Are you for our adversaries? And I love this angel. He's a bad angel. He said, neither. If you want God on your side, you better get on God's side, because he's not on your side and he's not on their side. He's on his side. And if you want him, you better get on his side. People take the word and act like he's on our side. God's word isn't for sides. God's word is what it is, and you either get in line with it or he just ignores you. I like this angel, because this angel said, it don't matter to me. I've come to do the will of God. I'll whip you, I'll whip them, I'll whip all of y'all. I don't care. I'm on assignment for the will of God to be done. It's not about people. It's not about churches. It's about the will of God and God's glory. And you can't just grab the word and act like you can fight somebody with the word. God has his own agenda, and we have to get into his agenda. Now notice this, I'm just going to do some more teaching here now. Joshua surrenders leadership to the angel of the Lord. Joshua was captain of the people, but the angel of the Lord was the captain of the host of the Lord. You see, everybody's not a leader. Everybody has the potential to be a leader, but not everybody's a leader. If you don't believe everybody is not a leader, put them over your stuff. Let's put them over your stuff. There are different measures of leadership. There are different levels of leadership. Not all leaders are on the same level. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, God said, divide the camp up and put leaders, some leaders over 1,000, put a leader over hundreds, and put a leader over 50s. In other words, I want you to put the person that has a measure of leadership for 1,000 put them over that amount. And then there's people who have a level of leadership for 50. And here's what happens. If you put someone that has a leadership level for 50 over 1,000, the 1,000 will go down to 50. But if you put a person who has 1,000 level leadership over 50, he'll take it up to 1,000. And that's just how God does it. Leadership is identified by two things. Leadership is not titles. Leadership is not position. Leadership is not what you call yourself. I'm a leader. Leadership has to do with two things. Number one, results. Don't tell me you're the best mechanic in town if I just had you work on my car and they're pulling me up in a tow truck. I don't care how big your Yellow Page ad is. If you don't get results, you're not a leader. I told them in the early morning service, you know, when I go shopping, maybe I'm different, but I check out the person who's coming to wait on me. I look at what they have on. I'm not going to ask them to match me together a suit and a tie or some outfit, and their shoes are tore up, and they look like they've got dry cleaning issues, and their clothes don't match, and stuff don't look right, and they look doofy, and you go, oh yeah, that looks good. I don't need your opinion. Because leadership is about results. Oh, come on, you know I'm preaching the truth. Don't tell me you're a prophet. I'm a prophet to the world. And you don't even have nowhere to minister. You need to quit doing that. It's not about titles. It's about results. It's about results. And the world knows this. The world will hire people, and if they don't get results, they say, take your little title and leave. Goodbye. Secondly, leadership is about fruitfulness. Leaders have the ability to produce fruit. The biblical example of that is Moses. The Bible said that he was ready to find the first high priest for the nation of Israel. And so God told him what to do. He said, I'll tell you how you vindicate and know who I choose as the leader. He said, tell them to take a stick, a dead stick, cut it a stick down. Each tribe is to write their name of their leader on that stick and bring a stick representing the tribe and the leader of that tribe, 12 of them, bring it into the holy place and put it on the Ark of the Covenant and leave it in there. And the stick that was dead and comes back to life is the way that you will know the one that I choose is the stick that was dead will begin to produce fruit. And that is the one that you are to follow. That is the one that you are to go to with your sins. That is the one you are to go to get the blessing. And the Bible said they all brought dead sticks, all 12 of the tribes. And there was one that Aaron had, and he laid it down. They came back. All the sticks were dead, but one of the sticks came alive, and it was budding, and it was fruitful. It was Aaron's rod, the scripture said, and it was budding. Turn to somebody and say, this bud is for you. Come on. It was budding. It had almonds. It was fruitful. Watch this. And God said, the one that's fruitful, that's the leader you are to follow. That's the leader you are to follow. That's what God did when he did the same thing when he wanted somebody to lead the world to salvation. Every religion said, our founder is the right one. Islam said, Muhammad is the right one. Buddhism said, Buddha's the one. Confucius is the one. All the religions of the world, our leader is the one. God says, fine, let's kill them all. Jesus, he claims to be the one. Let's kill them all. Kill them all and lay them in the tomb. And the one that's dead like a stick and comes back alive again, fruitful, he's the first fruits of them which sleep. Well, I got news for you. Muhammad stayed like a dead stick and Buddha stayed like a dead stick. But on the third day, he's alive again. His name is Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other way to life. And there's no other one who can lead you into the promised land. He's our fruitful leader. Will you give Jesus a big praise? The mighty name of Jesus. Glory. Glory. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. And what got me about this story is the scripture said, when the angel said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" Joshua said, "I'm with you." And then I love this part. Joshua fell on his face and worshiped. He fell on his face. He's at a transitional place that he has longed to be, and his people have longed to be for 40 long years. He's there, but I love the fact that before you get to Joshua 6 and 1, where it says, "Now Jericho," right before it, a man in a place of transition fell on his face, and the angel said, "Take off your shoes." When the Message Bible said, "Take off your shoes and stay a while." In other words, I know you're busy. I know you got stuff pushing on you. I know the people are anxious. I know they're all packed up and ready to go. They've been waiting for generations to get across this river. I know a lot's going on. I know you're a busy leader, but fall down on your face. Take your shoes off. Stay a while and worship God, because when you worship, it sets you up for the transition. Leaders ought to be worshipers. You've got time to worship no matter what's pushing on you. Worship is not wasting time. What you're doing this morning is not wasting time. What you're doing sitting in these buildings all across this area and wherever you're watching me right now, it is not wasting time. God says, "I want people who claim to be my leaders to spend time with me, worshiping me." Take your shoes off. Stay a while. Another thing about taking your shoes off is, have you ever walked around barefoot? You feel everything. Your feet are sensitive. He said, "Take your shoes off. Where I'm taking you, I'm going to need you to be sensitive. I'm going to need you to really be in tune and leaning on me. Where I'm taking you, you've never been before, and I need you to be worshipful. I need you to be in a spirit of dependency, leaning on me, worshiping me, looking to me as your source, not man." Here is Joshua, dealing with all of these people, got all of these questions, but he takes time to worship. And I conclude with this point. Your Bible said, "Now Jericho was straightly shut up, walls of resistance. They heard they were coming." Have you ever seen in the movies, you know, when back in the old days, you know, when they had the cities, they... when they hear the enemy's coming, the drawbridge starts. So that's what it means. It was straightly shut up. Nobody was going in. Nobody was coming out. Watch this. Walls of resistance. The Lord had somebody inside where they were trying to go. God had somebody for Joshua that was where he was trying to get to already. And here's the thing that the Lord told me to tell you. There's somebody that's going to help you get into your promised land. And here's the catch. It was Rahab, and she was a prostitute. He's going to use people. If you're closed-minded, if you think that he's only got to use your people and your kind of folks and everybody that you think like you and act like you and agree with everything, that's not how God takes you into the promised land. He will use whoever he wants to use when he wants to use them. And if you're sensitive, if you can hear him, if you'll worship him, you're humble enough to say, "I know you're not a prophet, you're a prostitute, but God said, come to your house." And she was the one that helped them get into the promised land. The Lord said to tell you that there is someone coming in your future that you are going to have to connect with. They are a power relationship. And they may not even be saved. God is my witness. I'm back there in the back of this building shaking hands. There's a young man and his wife and his family. They started coming to our midtown church, and they came down here today. They wanted to get a double dose, they said. And listen to this. Sunday before last, he came down, and he has an invention of for waxing for women or men nowadays. Waxing. Y'all know what that is? Waxing. It tears the hair off. Well, this is a big deal. And he said, pray over it. So we prayed Sunday before last down there in Midtown in the room that MTV paid for. Have y'all heard that story? Did I tell you what happened? Can I tell you? MTV came to us and said, we need to use that auditorium for 4 weeks. What would it take? We would pay you $20,000 if you would give us those 4 weeks. And Pastor Brock, our pastor, called me and he said, Pastor, I told him no. He said, I believe God's about to bless us. I said, go for it, Brock, go for it. He got to negotiating and they came back and said, we'll pay you $150,000. Now, here's what they didn't know. Listen. Quit interrupting my preaching with your shout. This is what they didn't know. It was the week before Forward Conference where we do in the arena over there. So we were not going to have service that weekend anyhow. The Sunday after, it was the 4th of July. We had decided not to have service on the 4th of July. And then we had planned to have an outdoor outreach in the park and have a live concert, and we had to have water baptism because so many people had been saved. So we were going to set up a tank out in the park across the street. And so they didn't know that, but they hand us a check for $150,000, paid the rent for 6 months on the building, paid for the lights, paid for the sound. I thought y'all would shout better than that. I tell you, when you please the Lord, he'll make the devil pay the bill if he has to. He'll open doors no man can shut. Listen, let me finish. You're doing it again. Let me finish. So this little couple, and are y'all still here? Is that couple still here? They were in the 9 o'clock service. I guess they went home. But listen to this. He said, Pastor, we prayed about my invention. And he said, CVS, is that what it's called? CVS, the drugstores? CVS picked it up this week in 3,000 stores nationwide. All right, here's the catch. And he said, Pastor, he said, the thing that I've been wrestling with is my partner is someone who is totally a heathen. And he said, I walk in here this morning and you preach that it may be in order to get you to your promised land. God will use the most unlikely person. I won't tell you, but this person he's in business with is in an alternative lifestyle. And he said, I've been wrestling. Can God? I said, sir, you heard from God today. Don't you doubt what God is doing. Go on into the promised land. He opened the door. Come on, somebody. Don't limit God's grace. Don't say God can't use anybody. God can use anybody, anywhere, anytime for his purpose and his kingdom, because he gets all the glory. Clap your hands and shout amen. And so what I feel is many of you are in a transitional place, and God has brought you here today to say the most important thing that you can do is develop a sensitivity through worship to hear his voice, because there's power relationships. And some of those power relationships, at least one of them, I feel led to tell you, will be the most unlikely person you ever dreamed that God will use to take you in somewhere you're supposed to be. Do you receive that? Stand up on your feet, no one moving, no one walking around, just real still and real quiet for just a moment. I want you to take 30 seconds all over this room, at all of our campuses, in the overflow, wherever you are. Lift your hands up high
And I want you to do what Joshua did. As busy as he was, as pressing as things were on him, he took time to worship. Throw your hands up, turn the volume up on your voice box, get a praise phrase in your lips, open your mouth, and if you're in a place of transition, begin to worship Jesus. He's the good shepherd. He leads you into green pastures beside the still waters. Goodness and mercy are following you, and you need to worship. You need to take your shoes off a little while. You need to say, God, I'm just going to settle right here, and I'm going to give you the glory that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I've been frustrated. I've been at a place of transition, but I know you're taking me in. I know you're leading me in. I know you're taking me, God, where I've never been before. And the walls of resistance are coming down. The walls of resistance are coming down in Jesus' mighty name. I want every person in this room who would say, Pastor Franklin, I'm at a transitional place. I know it. I sense it. It's like you've been preaching to me. You need to step out on this word, get out of your seat, get down here as quick as you can get down here and do what Joshua did right before now Jericho was worship. I want you to come, businessman. I want you to come, college student. I want you to come, housewife. I want you to come, business lady. I want you to come because this is a transitional time. It's a transitional place, and God's about to use the most unlikely people in your life. Right now, throw your hands up and spiritually take your shoes off and spend some time. You're not wasting time worshiping. It's making you sensitive. It's getting you in alignment for your assignment. Yes. I see a miracle. He made me a promise. That's a big part. It won't stop now. The enemy's told you you've peaked. You've gone as high as you can go. He's changing your diet. He's changing you. He's moving you to the discomfort place to become fruitful. And in the name of Jesus, I speak power relationships. The most unlikely people. You're going to sit at the table in the room with the most unlikely people. You're going to pinch yourself and say, am I really here? How did this happen? And you're going to know that as you spent time in worship, he opens doors no man can shut. When he announces favor on your life, nobody's curse can stop the blessing. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room or any of our campuses, and you would say, Pastor Jensen, I don't know that I'm right with Jesus Christ. I can't say he's Lord of my life. And I feel like while you've been preaching, I'm in a transitional place. I'm so frustrated. I'm tired of this life. It's left me empty. I'm dry. I'm consuming negative all the time. I need a whole new life. I need a whole new beginning. I need Jesus. He's the leader. He's the one who was dead and came alive, and you can too. And he's reaching out to you this morning. And right where you're standing, all over the room, at all of our rooms, If you would say, Jensen, I'm not right with God, but I'd love to get right with God this Sunday morning. If that's you, as boldly as you can, lift your hand as high as you can get it right now, all over the room. That's beautiful. Keep your hand high. Raise them high and unashamed. Amazing. Raise them high and look at the hands. That's amazing. I feel like doing something. I want every one of you that have your hand raised, run up here on the stage with me as quick as you can get up here. Every one of you. Press through. Say, excuse me. Run up here. Run up here. Run up here. Run up here. Hurry. It's going to take time. It's going to take. You got to do it quick. The king's business takes haste. Here they come. Come on. Clap your hands. Here comes the harvest. Uh-oh. Get the baptism tanks ready again. Order some more baptism. Here they come. They're coming out of bondage. They're coming out of the wilderness. They're crossing over to victory. They're going through one name, Jesus, our heavenly Joshua. Jesus is going to take them in to the promised land. Come on. Hallelujah. He's saying, come on. Somebody else needs to come. I'm going to wait. I feel like there's about 10 more. If you'll come and come now. Almost you persuade me, Pastor Frank. Come on. What are you waiting on? There's life over here. There's joy over here. There's peace over here. There's freedom over here. Come on. Anybody else? Hurry. Beautiful. We're going to sing it one more time. And there's about 10 more people that need to get out of your seat. Put the words up. Sing it one more time. No, my breakthrough is coming. Come on. Don't let me shut it down. I'm waiting on you. Come on, hurry. Sing it one more time. Somebody needs to obey God this morning. The glory.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.